This is the world-famous Bill Hendry Show.
But right before I got up to spoke, my colleague, Mr. King, stood up, who's a sponsor of the bill.
Can you buy something at a store without paying a sales tax?
Not in most states.
So why do
you... An extremely rare case. What happened here...
I was born of a whore and bred as an assassin.
I am gay.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night, even Friday night, till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. All the more so on Friday night. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. We'll go anywhere through the looking glass to find that truth. But most of the time, we're just looking for a couple of women. Laughs. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. Online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Where right now, we're streaming live on video and audio. You can also access our archives. You can access our comment section and our Phil feed. You can get a guaranteed email response from Phil Hendry. You can, you can do a whole lot. And starting on Monday, as a subscriber, you will be able to access the daily podcast, the Phil Hendry Show podcast. And that'll be available on iTunes, at our website. It will be an automatic download, and we're very excited about that. You asked for it. You screamed about it. You whined about it. It was pretty... I mean, I wouldn't say they were whining.
Yeah, they were whining.
All right. Well, in any event, it's going to be available for you starting Monday. And also, a couple of times a week, we are going to have our Classic Phil podcast. That will also be automatic there, an automatic download. So that will be a Classic Phil podcast, meaning we'll have an archival piece of material that I will introduce. I'll give you the background on it. I'll tell you how the characters came about. I'll give you the context, the news, what we were doing that day, what I was wearing. Was Bud awake? Had he OD'd again? All of that stuff. It's all happening Monday at philhendryshow.com. That is philhendryshow.com. 877-876-PHIL. Now, I want to talk to this gentleman that you have holding on, right?
Yeah.
And I think he's on line. I'll go over here to line. I want to go over here to line three and talk to this gentleman. Don.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
I'm not doing very good.
I understand that, sir. My producer told me that you have a family problem, huh?
We do. I've got a brother who's been arrested and is right now in custody of the sheriff here in Tennessee. And
what was he arrested for?
He was arrested for murder, first-degree murder.
First-degree murder, huh?
Yeah.
And what did you call me for?
I called because I know he's innocent. I know he is innocent because he has alibis, because he's a husband, he's a father, he's my brother. I know he would never kill anyone. We're looking for help because I don't think that he's going to, with a court-appointed attorney, I don't think he's going to make it.
And can you give me the details of this story, sir? What is your brother's name?
My brother's name is Len Parsley.
Len Parsley. And you're Don?
Yes, sir.
And can you tell me what happened to him?
Yes, sir. He owns, in partnership with another gentleman, a collectible store, a place called Shackle Island in Tennessee. It's about several miles to the east of Nashville.
And when you say a collectible store, what is that?
Collectibles are sports memorabilia, can be coins. They have a lot of coins and rare knives and swords. They're not necessarily antique. They're just collectible, unusual.
Things that people would value.
People who have an interest in that sort of thing. That's correct, yeah. So he owns, in partnership with this gentleman, In April, they use a courier service to take the monies and checks and some of the coins on the weekends to a safety deposit box. They don't keep it on site. Some of the money will go to a bank, and they use a courier for that. And on this particular Friday night, the courier showed up to transport these materials, and Chris, the partner, my brother's partner, was going to meet the courier at the safety deposit box, which they hold in Shackle Island.
This is a town?
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay.
And my brother was going to a Nashville Predator hockey game, and so he said goodbye to Chris's partner and to a young man named David Allenthal, the courier. And that night, my brother got a call on his cell phone that he did not retrieve until after the game, and he was told that David was missing, the courier was missing, they didn't know where he was.
And who was on the phone? Was it the police?
It was Chris, his partner.
Okay.
And the next day, it was a Sutter County sheriff who, they said they found a truck, and they had found the safe that was behind a building or behind a store of some kind in Holland Center.
And where's that?
That's near Shutter Island on the way to Nashville.
They had found the safe in which this stuff was being transported?
Yes, sir. And they found the truck, but they did not know where David was. And then later in the day, they said they found his body. And he'd been shot.
And you guys figure he's been robbed?
Yes, sir. He's been robbed. My brother had an ironclad alibi. He went to the Nashville Predator game.
Well, before we get into that, I want to let people know we're listening to a caller of mine. Your name is Don Parsley, right?
Yes, sir.
And his brother has been arrested for murder. First degree, is that correct?
Yeah.
That's premeditated. That's... all right, before we get into any of that, I want to get the timeline right. So the courier comes, picks this material up, the courier's truck, and the safe are found the next day.
The next day on Saturday afternoon, I'd say, about 1 o'clock is when Chris said the police had found that. And
were you in contact with the partner?
Yes, I was.
Then they find the young man.
They found Davey later on in the afternoon.
And where was he?
He was in the area where they found the truck. I think they found him down... probably 50 or 60 yards away from the truck.
And now they begin to ask questions. Did they immediately arrest your brother?
No, they didn't. They didn't arrest my brother until 2 nights ago.
And what did they do? Did you talk to the police?
No, I didn't.
Well, did your brother tell you what happened after that?
Yes, he did. He told me that they had him in. They had Chris in. They had two or three customers that were there when Dave was there picking up the safe, the courier. And then they asked my brother where he was that night. He said it was at a Nashville Predator hockey game. And then they stopped by my brother's house. They called him up, and they said they wanted to talk to him. And they came by his house, and they said, can you tell us? And they asked him again, where were you that night? He said, I was at the Nashville Predator hockey game. They go, do you have the tickets? Bingo, yes, I do. He produces, he's got the ticket. And they said, did you go anywhere else that night? He said, yes, I stopped for gas, and my brother had the receipts.
So your brother had all the receipts for the gas that he bought?
Yeah, and he even had receipts for the concession at the arena for the game. And then the next day, I want to say this was all back in April, so I'm having a hard time. The next day, they interviewed his partner, Chris. And so then the police, I guess that was the end of that. And Chris and I and my brother, Len, would call the police, find out where they are with the case. And they were always, oh, you know, we're making some progress. But I never knew. I never knew.
That your brother would be arrested.
It never dawned on me. And I found out my brother got arrested 3 nights ago.
And why is it just taking you till now?
No, I found out about it yesterday.
Okay. And why was your brother arrested?
This is going to be really hard to say, but it shows you how stupid cops can be. These cops arrest my brother because they said his ticket stub on the hockey game says April the 17th for the Anaheim Mighty Ducks, or I guess that's the name of the team?
Yeah.
And they said the season ended on April the 10th. And I said, And my brother laughed, too. I said, that's how stupid cops are. My brother bought scalp seats, Mr. Henry. Okay?
Your brother bought these tickets from a scalper?
Yeah. And scalpers, counterfeit, they run all kinds of games. And that's how stupid these cops are.
Your brother had two tickets. When was your brother supposedly at the game?
On April the 10th.
On April the 10th, which was a Saturday, is that right?
Yeah.
And yet the tickets that he had said April 17th.
Yeah, because he bought them from a scalper. Who
did he see play?
He saw the St. Louis Blues.
Did it ever occur to your brother that he had tickets for the 17th?
No, he never thought about it.
But see, I'm just wondering why he would go to the arena that night on the 17th if the tickets said on the 10th.
Because he knew that it was a scalper, and he knew that the scalper would probably get it all wrong. See, the point is that that's not the point. The point is my brother and I are twins, and I think I mentioned that to the other gentleman. I don't know if I mentioned it to you.
Yeah, you did.
If you know about twins, you know the twins have a very strong bond. And I just know my brother's an innocent man. My brother would never kill anyone. My brother's a great father. He's a good husband. He's a hardworking man. He would never take anyone's life and steal that way. Why would he steal his own money, you know? Why would he steal his own money?
See, that's the other thing. The police would have to have a motive, wouldn't they?
That's correct.
Have they given you a motive?
They've mentioned that they say my brother had a gambling debt, but my brother hasn't gambled in a long time.
How much was it worth, the materials that this young man, David the Courier, was taking?
Probably, I think it was about $175,000.
Boy, and he's got all of this in his truck?
Well, he had it in a secured safe. So whoever stole it, there was no way they were going to get it out of there.
Yeah, but they did. They found the safe open.
They did. They did find it open. They found it open. And that part is, you know, I'm as puzzled as the police are on that.
And all right, well, hold on, David, or rather Don. We're talking to Don Parsley about his brother having been arrested for first-degree murder. His brother, who is a twin, and he knows, he says, because he's a twin brother, he didn't do it. His brother went to a hockey game the night that this murder took place. The tickets his brother had, though, said April 17th. The hockey game was April the 10th. And yet the brother went to the arena on April the 10th, not April 17th, even though the ticket said that. The other thing is that this thing about a gambling debt, although I don't know. I want to talk to Don, and maybe you found out, Bud, what really his purpose of calling us is. If we can get to some of that, we will be down the road a little bit on this thing. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. And we'll be back with Don Parsley here talking more about the strange case of his brother and the murdered courier. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Well, you're making it sound like he's guilty.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Now, I'm here with Mr. Don Parsley, who is telling me of a brother of his, is a twin brother, who's been arrested for first-degree murder in Tennessee. And this is a case where he has a clear alibi. He went to a hockey game. He has his receipts. He doesn't need the money, even though you say the police uncovered some gambling debts, right?
Right. I mean, he doesn't have a... No, he doesn't have a gambling problem, and this is a good man. He would never take another man's life. He didn't need the money, I just think we need help. I mean, I said that I'm not a rich man, but I don't think a public defender is going to take an interest in this because, see, the police, they got it all stacked against them. They're saying, no. You don't have an alibi because the tickets you're supposed to be at the hockey game on April 10th and there for April 17th. You know, but I'm going to do everything I can.
Well, are you looking to set up a defense fund?
No, I don't want to do that because it's some kind of a thing with my family. We've never taken charity, ever. We're going to have to just, you know, pool our resources as a family. And
so what, you know, and this is a very compelling story. Don't get me wrong, Mr. Parsley, but why did you call me?
I just want to warn people. I want to warn people about how the police will, you know, give up on trying to find the real killer because maybe they're lazy. Maybe they got a quota, you know, they met their quota for that month. And they'll go ahead and just put anybody. It's sad, you know. It's really sad. So I just feel that we'll do what we can. We'll do what we can.
But if we engaged people who call the show tonight to get money to help you with the defense of your brother, the only thing that I would have a question.
No, sir. We don't. My family doesn't take. I mean, if people are going to call up and donate money, they have to understand that. You know, we want a lawyer that's going to be. You know, we're looking to have a. I'm hoping. This is just my own personal hope. I'm hoping we get, you know, a top flight lawyer like I don't know who you might think about it. It wouldn't be Johnny Cochran. He's dead, but somebody like a Johnny Cochran, you know. So that would be obviously very expensive, and I don't know if people who are listening to your show right now. So
I don't know how much people are willing to donate, but if we wanted to have a defense fund for your brother, is what I'm saying, you know,
yeah.
that we could get money from people that way if they hear your story and that your brother has been wrongfully arrested.
Well, like I said, we're going to need a pretty good lawyer for him. And the thing of it is I don't take charity. I would for my brother because his kids and his wife, I don't know what they're going to do while he's in jail. But I probably wouldn't even want to take charity for him. You know. And the other thing is, most of the people that are listening to your show tonight, Mr. Henry, and I don't mean any offense by this, but it may be 12 of them that send my brother, you know, to the electric chair or to lethal injection or what have you.
Well, you don't know that, you know.
I know, but it's very possible.
You don't know that at all. The only question that I have about this is your brother is innocent. He had tickets for the hockey game, and he went to the hockey game, he claims.
No, he did go to the hockey
game. All right, he did go to the hockey game, and yet the tickets for the hockey game said April the 17th.
It was from a scalper who had misprinted it, okay? And the tickets didn't even exist. And
so how did your brother find the seats that were sold to him?
Well, I mean, like I say, I mean, it had the seats, and it just so happened there was nobody was sitting there. So he just
and who was with your brother that night?
Nobody. He went to hockey by himself.
Is he used to going to the games by himself?
Yeah, I mean that's not anything all that unusual. He likes going to see the hockey, and you know that's what he likes to do. So,
so there wasn't a witness with him. Did anybody see him at the game?
Well, I think there were, and I think what you're asking me are questions the police already asked. We already answered all that, Mr. Henry, and I, you know, it's like I feel like I'm being put through it again, you know.
No, I understand it, sir, but I just wanted to know for my own information and maybe for the information of my audience, did anybody see him at the game? I'll give our phone number out here because at some point I want to take some phone calls from my listeners.
Well, that's fine, but I don't want people to think I'm a charity case. I will say that if they're going to donate money, I do want to get a top flight lawyer.
All right. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. I'm talking to Don Parsley, whose brother was arrested last week for a first-degree murder. And Mr. Parsley says his brother is innocent, that this is a big misunderstanding. Do you have any idea who might have done this?
Yeah, I think that, in my opinion, it's my brother's partner.
This man, Chris.
Yes, sir.
What would he be? What would be? These guys are you two guys own the same business. Why would he steal from the business?
For the very same reason that they say my brother did. For gambling debts.
Do you know that he has gambling debts?
I don't know for sure what he has, but he's no better than my brother, you know, and if they say my brother had a gambling debt, I don't understand why, you know, this guy wouldn't have one too. Why are they just saying my brother has a gambling debt, you know?
And all right, Don, hold on for a minute, okay? 877-876-PHIL. Don Parsley, whose brother has been arrested for murder, I've offered to set up some kind of a defense fund for a brother who claims that he didn't commit the crime that the police think he did commit. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Don Parsley joining us, a gentleman from... where are you, Don? Are you in Tennessee?
Yes, sir.
And whereabouts?
I'm in Nashville.
All right. And you are... your brother has been arrested for first-degree murder. This is a terrible trauma for your family. He's an innocent man. He has an alibi. The police have picked him up anyway, and they're going, and they've charged him with this crime. Can you give me any... And we'll take some phone calls... you're going to have to talk to a lawyer about this. You're looking to hire a lawyer, a good one. By the way, your family doesn't have a lot of money, right?
No, we don't have a lot of money. I mean, my brother, he doesn't have any.
Did the police recover this money?
No, they did not. No, they did not, you know, so.
All right,
And just if I can anticipate, Mr. Hendry, are you saying that my brother stole that money, so he should have money for a lawyer?
No, sir, I'm not saying that, no.
Because my brother's innocent, and I don't want anybody, you know, wasting my time or anything.
I want to ask this question. Your brother went to the hockey game. It said on the ticket...
I've answered this question, you know.
No, I understand, sir, but the hockey ticket said April the 17th. The season ended on April the 10th. Your brother went to this game... On April the 10th?
Yeah, this season ended. You say it ended on the 17th. No, he went on the 17th is when it ended.
No, the season ended. The Nashville Predators season ended at home on April the 10th.
Then that's when he went.
But you said he went on the 17th because that was what was on the tickets?
No, it was. He knew the game was on the 10th. It said the 17th on the tickets.
Why would he go to the game?
Because he's a big hockey fan. He knows that... They play on the 10th, and the date was wrong on the tickets because they figured it was a scalper, and so they don't know what they're talking about. And
how? Okay, and the money that was taken, how much money?
It was $150,000 in cash.
But you said that there were some coins too.
And also, yes, there was coins and cash and
collectibles.
Right. You know. Everything that they have at a collectible store was there. So all I want to do is get a defense fund going and stop doing all these interviews on TV and everything.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let me get to a phone call here. We have some people waiting. Judy in Buffalo, New York, listening on WWKB. Hello, Judy. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil.
Hello.
You know, someone is pulling someone's leg here. This story does not make any sense. I'd like to know, what is the date on the receipts from the concessions and everything else?
On the concession that my brother went to at the game?
Yes. What's the date on those receipts?
Well, I don't have. The police have them.
I understand that, but if you say the tickets were from the 7th, were dated the 17th, but it was on the 10th, I'd like to know what date were on those receipts. The story
The game was on the... No, ma'am, the story... My brother's got receipts for the gas that he bought.
Yeah, but the lady's question is a good question. What are the dates so we know exactly when he...
Well, Mr. Henry, are you saying my brother's guilty?
No, sir, I'm just trying to get some background here. You know, if you're asking people to listen to your story and believe it, you know...
All I want is people to donate if they want to. I don't care.
But,
for a defense fund.
No, I know, but for people to do that, they have to... So your brother had tickets. He was going to go to the Predator game. It's on the 10th. We know that the season ended on the 10th because I checked the schedule. So
that's when the receipts are dated on the tenth.
But you don't. Did you see them?
Well, my brother is my twin. Do you have a twin, ma'am, or do you know about twins?
I'm sure you're going defend your brother no matter what.
Yeah, but twins don't lie to each other because they're connected by, it's almost I don't know how you say it, but it's telepathic. And I just know that what he's telling me is true because he's a twin.
If
you had a family member locked up for murder, I don't think you'd be laughing. I think you'd find it very
I am not laughing, but the story does not make any sense.
Sam, I said my brother, all I know is the police call him up. They go to my brother's house. They go, do you happen to have the tickets for the game? He goes, yes, I do. My brother had it already. He's all ready to show them because he knew they were going to come back. He just knew just the way they're asking him questions. So he had the receipts ready. He had the tickets ready. And bingo, there you go. And then the cop. And this is how stupid cops are. I'm sorry if you know a cop, but this is how stupid. They go, it's April 17th. The game's on the 10th. Because I know, because it's a scalper. And that's how stupid they are.
I don't know that about scalpers. Scalpers sell legitimate tickets. They just sell them at inflated prices.
No, they counterfeit. They do everything. They do everything.
And the cop, you say, is so stupid, they don't know that they counterfeit tickets.
Well, they should, but... But
there's a loophole in this story. I'm sorry, and I don't know.
If you don't want to believe an innocent man, that's fine.
I would certainly, but it has to be proven to me that he's innocent. And I don't know how many of
you. I heard you laugh again.
I don't know how many
you went,
your listeners
like
are going to buy into this story without knowing all of the facts.
What have I not told you that I could possibly tell? I've told you everything that I could.
I want to know the date of the receipts from the concession stand.
April the 17th.
April the 17th?
Yes. Now I remember because the police had told me.
Well, April the 17th was 1 week after. Okay.
No, that's what I meant to say. Whenever the game was. The game was on the 10th.
Well, you just said the 17th.
Because I thought that was the last... I thought that was the last game of the season.
It was. According to your brother, he went to the last game of the season. It was a home game against the St. Louis Blues.
Yes, sir.
You said the Anaheim Ducks.
The Anaheim Ducks was what he thought he was going to see, and when he got there, it was another team. This is if you know anything about sports, I don't think either one of you know anything about sports.
I know sports, sir. I've been to plenty of sporting events. I know what my ticket says, my seats. I know where I sit. I know what team I'm going to go see.
Have you ever scalped any tickets?
Yeah, I've scalped plenty of tickets, you know. And the only thing that's different about scalping a ticket is they're really expensive. Judy, thank you so much for your phone call. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Chad in Nashville. Chad, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Mr. Don Parsley. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Things just don't... The facts here... You know, I don't know anything about this case, so I'm not saying, you know, either way, but the facts just don't add up. I've been to several Predators games myself, and I have purchased tickets from scalpers. If you buy a counterfeit ticket from a scalper, you won't be allowed to enter the arena. All these tickets nowadays, they have unique barcodes on them, and they scan them at the front gate when you enter. If you have a fake ticket, they're not going to let you in.
Well, that's the way it's supposed to work, but you know as well as I do.
That's the way it does work.
Well, all the time, obviously, because my brother went into that game. And okay, I'm afraid he went into that game.
But you don't know whether your brother went into a game on the 10th, on the 17th. If what this gentleman is saying is true... Forget about the barcode. You're looking at a ticket that has the wrong date on it.
They don't look at no date. All they do is make sure you have a ticket.
No, they scan your ticket. They don't even take your tickets anymore. They scan them.
That's right.
Doesn't have the accurate barcode that's unique to that particular day, they're not going to let you in. And how is a scalper going to know that particular barcode to put on a fake ticket?
How'd my brother get in the game then?
Well,
he said he saw
what I'm saying.
St. Louis, you know?
Well, I could say I was at that game. But another unique thing is in Tennessee, the Predators are very popular here in Tennessee. and they usually sell out every game. So it's just kind of odd.
That's probably why he had to scalp it.
It's odd that he got a scalped fake ticket and the real people for those seats weren't at the game. I can't comprehend. Because
if
the ticket was fake from a scalper, then there should have been real people at that game with the real tickets.
No, because maybe they didn't show up.
Well, that's my point. Is people go to these games in Nashville. The Predators sell out the games.
I know, you already said that, but it doesn't mean that just because... Look, a sellout only means they sold a lot of season tickets and they sold a lot of single-game tickets, but that doesn't mean all the season ticket holders show up.
No, my point is the people show up for the games. The people in Nashville support the Predators.
No, they don't always show up for the games.
Well, we have a difference here.
See, the problem is that's two calls that I've taken, and I don't hear anybody saying they want to donate money. That man there?
Sports venue.
Hello.
When I go to a sports venue and I go to concession stands, I don't save the receipts for 4 months.
I don't know about you. You're not in jail for murder. My brother is. We're talking about a different man here.
I completely understand that, and I don't know any facts of the murder itself. I live in Nashville, and I have heard nothing of the murder. I don't know anything
about
that.
What we're trying to do is we're trying to get a defense fund going. If you had any money for it.
Well, for a minute there, sir, you said you didn't want charity.
I don't want charity, but I'd rather a guy just say he's going to donate money than give me a lot of back talk about stuff.
Nobody's back talking you.
Well, I mean,
the facts don't add up. That's basically what it comes down to.
Of course they do. Of course they do. But you're prejudiced against it.
I'm not.
Well, why would this man be prejudiced?
Because he's probably. He may think I'm talking about. Do you think I'm black? I just want to ask you. Do you think I'm a black man, sir?
Sir, I was born and raised in New Orleans. I probably have more black friends than you do.
No, I'm just wondering.
Do you think
I'm black?
Your skin color.
Because I didn't know if you're being prejudiced against me.
Are
you being prejudiced against me because
I'm.
No, he's not. Didn't even mention skin color.
I'm trying to figure out why he's coming in with thinking I'm a liar and everything.
Because of the story that you told.
I'm not telling a story, Mr. Hendry.
All right, well, whatever. The facts that you're giving us do not add up, as that gentleman just said. Thank you for your call, Chad. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with more of your phone calls. We're talking to Don Parsley this evening. He is a resident of Nashville. His brother was arrested for first-degree murder. They're trying to get a defense fund together for a brother who's been arrested for murdering a courier that he uses in his business, and half the money gone. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Starting Monday, automatic downloads of the Phil Hendry Show podcast at iTunes, at our website. And three times a week, we will feature the Classic Phil podcast. Classic material from our archives as well. On the line with me is Mr. Don Parsley from Nashville, Tennessee, whose brother, Len, was arrested for murder last week in the murder of a young courier who worked for his brother's company. Apparently had somewhere in the neighborhood of $150,000 worth of memorabilia, coins, and cash in a safe that he was transporting to a safety deposit box. Police were on the case. They were on it for a number of months. And it was only recently then that the family member was arrested. And when was it, Don?
It was last week. I wanted to say, I'm not one for donations, Mr. Andrew, but you twisted my arm, so okay, if people want to donate money so I can get an attorney for my sister's defense for my family, too, I would prefer donations to these questions.
You said your sister's defense?
My sister-in-law, who is my brother's wife, she's the one who...
Well, you said for her defense.
For her to defend my brother is what I meant to say.
Is she handling the money?
She is handling the money. I want people to send it to me only because She doesn't really have a checking account there. It had to do with a lot of things. And I would really rather that people would send me the money than ask me these questions, which I think are insulting, given the fact my brother's my twin. And he thinks, you know, everything that I think, he thinks. And I told you that he was at the hockey game. I don't remember the date. It was, I'm sure the receipts match. All I'm telling you is my brother would never, and yeah, you're right, he had a gambling problem.
All right, well, if you hold on for a minute, Don. If you put it all together, gambling problem, the dates aren't right on the ticket. I'm not saying your brother's guilty, okay? Hold on. Just hold on for a second. Gambling problem, dates on the ticket are wrong. They don't match up. Okay. Was it $150,000 in cash? It was coins. It was memorabilia. It was cash. You just got done telling me your sister-in-law is handling the money, but she doesn't have a checking account. Is your brother, I'm not saying he killed anybody, is he playing you?
No. And the reason why I know...
Because he's your twin.
He's my twin. And anybody who is a twin or has been a twin, they know that you don't... That's very real.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I want to go to a phone call here. We have Renee in San Francisco listening on KNEW. Renee, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi.
Hi.
I'd just like to offer to Don, if you're really concerned about your brother and wanting to get a defense fund going for him, you should stop talking immediately because there's no authenticity in it. I don't even believe a word that you're saying. Maybe you could get your sister-in-law to come onto the program and ask for...
Why would you say there's no... why would no offense that I don't have a brother, that my brother is not right now very frightened sitting in the jail
cell? Every caller who comes on, you accuse the police of being stupid. You accuse the callers of being prejudiced. But yet you want listeners to blindly... You'd like listeners to blindly believe everything you say because you're someone's twin and write checks and send it to the radio station in defense of your brother. I strongly suggest you do not get on the stand and testify for your brother because he will go to jail if you testify for him because no one believes a word that you're saying. I hope your brother's innocent.
First of all, ma'am, you're speaking for everybody and you don't. And secondly, you said it was hard to believe. Well, I've got a brother. You don't think I got a brother? I don't care if you have a brother. You're talking so silly.
I think you're a prank caller, maybe. I don't even know who you are. You don't even sound like you're authentic at all.
Well, ma'am, I can say the same thing about you. You don't sound authentic either. You sound like a woman that don't want to hear anybody's story. You're just talking over top of me. That's number one.
Stories, and the stories are not
number two. Number two, how can you possibly hear what I'm saying when all you're doing is talking? How could you possibly hear my story?
All right, will you guys, one person at a time. One person at a time.
This lady says that she doesn't believe my story. How could she have heard it? All she's doing is talking. She's probably been talking through your whole show, Mr. Henry.
Well, Don, I told you, I told you, Don, the parts of your story that are hard to believe. I told you that you've got the date.
It's not hard to believe that I've got a twin brother.
That's not the part that I don't believe. The part that is difficult, the game was on the 10th of April, and yet you say the game ticket says April the 17th. Well, that's understandable according to you because of the scalpers. They often put the wrong date on. All right, but then why did he go to the game on the 10th if the date says the 17th? You say, well, he knows the Predators so well that he knows when that game was, even though he said it was the Mighty Ducks. And it was actually the St. Louis Blues.
That was me. I don't know hockey. I said the Mighty Ducks because that's the only team I know.
Mr. Phil.
All right. The other thing I was going to say is that the police officer came to me and said that he wanted to see the receipts of my brother. I said, did my brother show the receipts? He said, yes, he did. Okay, there you go.
But what were the dates on the receipts? You know, the cops wound up arresting your brother.
What do you mean, what were the dates?
What was the date of the game?
Why are you asking me that?
Because you're the guy that's here that's getting, soliciting the money. You were going to say something, Renee? Go ahead.
Mr. Phil, When you walk to the gate of a game, I went to a San Francisco Giants game a week ago. I was sitting in my car, three blocks from...
She went to a game. Good for her.
Don't be smartass. Let the lady finish.
Do not get on the defense stand for your brother, because he will go to jail, even if he's innocent.
That? You actually went to the game and went through the turnstile.
I'm sitting in my car in San Francisco, three blocks
from... Yeah, I know. You already said so.
And I'll finish what I'm saying if you can hold your tongue.
3 blocks from AT&T Park. What's that?
That's the baseball stadium.
The San Francisco Giants.
I
went to the game last week. I walked in with my ticket that I did not buy from a scout. It has a date on it. I give it to the people at the ticket gate. They're not going to let me go into a game if I have a ticket for next week when I'm going to the game today. They don't do that. Your ticket is for that night. Everyone with half a brain knows that.
I bet you were alone.
What is that supposed to mean?
Do your brother's favor, get off the radio station and stop digging a grave for him, because you are killing him.
You are so much like my first wife.
Renee, thanks for your call. 877-876-PHIL. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hendry.
God, I hate her.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Great courage. All members have already spoken and then stand
up. Do they
all
live in caves?
I don't think very many of them live in caves.
Okay, so
scared. Okay.
You know, an extremely rare case. What happened here?
How's your friend Ann Coulter in the faggot word? What are you making at?
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Where truth is our bitch. And where we go through the looking glass. In fact, we go to the other side to find that thing called the truth. And a couple of good times, too. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And also you can look us up online at philhendryshow.com. You can watch a live streaming video of our show each and every night right now if you'd like to. Let me turn the fan off here. Is that too noisy, bud?
Yeah, it's all right.
I had the fan on because the studio gets a little warm. Nonetheless, go over to our website, philhendryshow.com, and pick up a backstage pass. Starting on Monday, automatic downloads of the Phil Hendry Show podcast at iTunes, at our website, etc. And also, we will begin next week our classic Phil podcasts, too. Those are archival bits of entertainment that are free to everybody, just to give you an idea of what our website's all about. 877-876-PHIL. We are talking this evening, and we are holding over Mr. Don Parsley, whose brother was arrested for first-degree murder in Tennessee over this the past few days. The story that, as Mr. Parsley has told us, is that his brother was arrested for the murder of a courier, a man who worked for Mr. Parsley's brother and his partner, who was taking money between the business and some kind of a safety deposit box or a secured area. He was waylaid somehow. He was shot and killed. The the safe that he was carrying was empty. And your brother was arrested. And the police say that the motive here is, I don't know what it possibly could be, Don, but I guess the motive is that he had gambling debts.
Let's talk a little bit. Let's talk some turkey here, Phil, because, you know...
Yeah, but wasn't that what they said the motive was?
I don't know what the police said the motive was, and I'm not really... You know, I let me tell you what's going on here. I didn't want to take any money. You twisted my arm. You said, let's do a defense fund. Okay. And I don't have a great lifestyle. I'm not a DJ, you know, like you are and everything. And all I need is a few dollars to help me and my wife. I have a wife and kids. And so
why do you need the money?
I need the money because of my brother needs the money. I need the money.
You said you and your wife and kids?
I need the money. My brother needs the money. And so if we can get a donation for him, I don't have to give him the money so that I can be, you know, okay. You see what I'm saying?
Then, in other words, you and your family will have to pay for his attorney.
Yes. And we want a top-flight attorney. We want Johnny Cochran. I know he's not alive, but there was a man that I saw, I remembered from that O.J. trial. He does the TV commercials, too.
Robert Shapiro.
Yes, sir. But all I've heard are people questioning my honesty, and the money is all we need for him. Now, he has been, my brother's defense is so that I can have money that I don't have to spend on him, and then he has money. That's what I'm saying. Right now, he doesn't have any money. I got to spend money on him. So if I can get donations from people, and I didn't want to take them, but you twisted my arm. And
sir, I don't remember ever twisting your arm.
You most certainly did, Mr. Henry. You came on the program and said to the listeners, this man needs help. Why don't you take some money? It seems to be.
No, I never twisted your arm. I said that we could get some kind of a defense fund going for you if you'd answer some questions.
I've answered every question that you've put to me.
Well, you have, and they bring up more questions. And
well, how many questions does a man answer before he just says, you're lying to me? You know, and people have called me a liar. I think I've been lied to, not by you necessarily, but I think the police have lied. You know.
How did the police lie?
Well, I think they lied when they said that Len, you know, I think they're lying when they say Len's a suspect. I think they know more than they're saying. I think it's possible that there's more that they're not, that they're saying, or more that they're not saying. I mean,
well, what more could they be saying?
See how you always ask questions.
Sir, you're the one with the information. I'm not. You're the one who has the answers. I'm not. You're the one who.
I don't have all the answers, Mr. Henry. If I had all the answers, my brother would be out of jail tonight. You know, all I can tell you is, and this is all I've got, he's my twin. And we have a way of, there's a way of telepathically talking to each other. And he can't lie to me on account of the twin, on account of what the twin can do. If my brother says he went to a hockey game on the 17th, and there were guys in skates, and they were out there, I don't know who they were playing, I don't know what city he was in, but he swears to God, and we come from a very religious family, too, and I don't mind telling you that. He swears to God he was at a hockey game on April the 17th.
You said that he was at a hockey game on the 10th.
There you go. You said
the game was on the 10th. I'm looking at the schedule, and it says the 10th.
My brother is... I will say this again, Mr. Henry. I don't know if you're a twin.
No, I'm not a twin. I'm not a twin. No, I'm not.
Well, then you don't know what you're talking about. Because if my brother says he was at a hockey game on the 10th, or...
The 17th is what he said was on the ticket.
He says he was at a hockey game on the 17th, then I'm telling you right now, as God is my witness, there were men on skates... Lying all around. I don't know what they're doing. Pirouettes, whatever they do.
877-876-PHIL. Let me go to a phone call here. Daryl in Topeka, Kansas. Go ahead, sir. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, Phil. My brother and I are 60-year-old twins. And,
yes, sir.
We're identical. And,
yes, sir.
I'm as close to him as anything. And twins do lie to each other. As a quick example, an accident a few years ago, rear ender, spent $4,000 trying to defend myself. My brother was on my side. I lost the case for a $50 ticket. He just recently asked me about that case again, and I said, well, the truth was I really did rear end the guy on purpose. I was angry. So, you know, twins do lie to each other, and even in a crime like I have.
But you know what? You know what? Your brother probably already knew that.
Yeah, well, sure he did. You know, we're not telepathic.
You know what I'm saying? He probably already knew it. That's what I'm saying.
Close.
Yeah, so he probably was just testing you to see if you'd, you know, tell him. But he already knew you were lying.
Yeah.
You know, that's the same thing with my brother. You know.
Yeah.
And you say that you know he's not lying.
He wouldn't. If I will tell you this, and this gentleman here, he's a twin, so you know. If my brother, and this is only an if my brother killed that guy, there had to have been a good reason.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
I'm saying him.
No, wait a minute. You said the guy's innocent. You swore up and down.
I do believe he's innocent.
Then what do you mean if he killed the guy, he had to have a good reason?
I'm saying as an option. Isn't this, is the twin still on the line there? Where'd the twin go?
Daryl, are you there, sir?
Yeah, Phil, you started breaking up on me. I'm on a cell phone.
I want to ask the twin. I mean, Daryl, did your brother... Okay, so all you did was rear-end a guy. That's as bad as it's been?
Yeah, I'm not here.
All right, no problem, Daryl. We'll let you go. Thank you for the call. 877-876-PHIL. Are you saying your brother killed this guy?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying if he did.
I thought twins can't lie. And you said to me that your brother, you know, is telling you the truth when he said he didn't kill that guy.
I know he is, but he may be testing me by saying I killed a guy. Or he didn't say he killed a guy, but he might. If he says that to me, then I will know he's testing me. But all I'm trying to say, and see, the twin, I don't even know why I'm talking, because that twin proved it. When I said to him, your twin could be lying, and the twin said, yeah, you're right. So that twin and the other twin, that twin lied to the other twin. My twin told me that he didn't kill another man who might have been a twin of some. I don't know if the guy that he killed was a twin. And he told his twin, me, that he didn't do it. I believe him. And I've been on your program for an hour and 15 minutes. I don't think I've heard anyone, not one human being, have the common courtesy to say I'd like to donate $10,000, $20,000, or however many, to your case. But all they do is ask me about twins. They ask me about duct tape and all these other things only police made up.
Duct tape? I don't remember that.
You said something about...
I said the Ducks, the Mighty Ducks.
That was what it was, yeah.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here as we talk to Don Parsley concerning his brother being in jail for murder, a murder his brother didn't commit, so Don says, and his brother is his identical twin, so, you know, they don't lie. And on top of everything else, he needs the money, too, because he's poor. By giving his brother this money, he'll be poorer, so he needs donations, even though I twisted his arm to take him. What? He wants to talk to me? Yes, sir.
I wish you wouldn't talk behind my back.
So, just hold on for a minute, sir. 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Who's that?
Listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Don Parsley with us. His brother is in jail for a first degree murder right now. The trial has not yet been set. You said that you need to raise this defense money for him, in part because you want to hire a good attorney. Another, you're hoping that eventually bail will be set?
I'm hoping, because my brother is right now I can tell you he's got a very bad temper. There's no question he's got a bad temper. No question he's got a bad temper, and I'll bet anything that he probably cussed out the cops and said all kinds of things to them, and they probably think they're going to hang a murder rap on him because he told them, you know, he called them names or told them where to stick it. I'd like to get my brother out because he's got a very bad temper, and I can tell you when he gets angry, you better don't walk, you better run. So I think... you know, if he gets angry enough, I don't know a jail that can hold him.
You don't know a jail that can hold him, and yet he's not in jail. He's a law-abiding citizen.
That's right, Mr. Henry. Some people have a bad temper.
Well, I don't think that's going to bother the police at all. I think they're going to keep the guy inside regardless if he doesn't have the bail money.
Well, you think they're going to keep him inside regardless unless he has the bail money, and I'm telling you that he'll get mad enough where he'll... Okay, he can break out of the jail.
He'll get mad enough that he'll bust out of the jail how?
I'm not going to tell you. I don't know how. But that's how mad he can get. I mean, if they bring him his breakfast on a tray, he'll...
Well, what are we talking about here, Hannibal Lecter? I'm just trying to get to the bottom of this story about your brother. You say he's not guilty of murder. You say that the guy's a law-abiding citizen, but he's got a really bad temper. And the guy that brings in his food in the morning, the trustee, is, what, going to get killed?
I didn't say Hannibal Lecter, okay? I didn't say that.
Well, I mean, you're sounding like your brother can bust out of any jail, and he's getting really mad, and that's why you need to get this money.
I need to get his bail money, yes, sir. And if people are calling to donate, that would be great, but I haven't heard anybody say anything yet, so... I guess the hell with that.
I didn't hear you, sir.
I said the hell with
it. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to a phone call here from Ryan in Nashville. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Ryan, go ahead, sir.
You do understand that when we're asking you questions, the only reason anyone would ever donate money is if they think he's innocent. So I'm going to sort of preface my question like that. But why can't you keep the dates for your brother straight? I mean... You don't know what day he was accused of first-degree murder? I mean, because that's the day that the game's supposed to be for. You say the 12th, the 17th, the 10th. We don't know what day it is. There's not even a Predators game after the 10th. So why, if you're telepathic with your twin, why can't you remember the date for your brother's accusation of first-degree murder?
I do remember, sir. First of all, I never said the 12th. I said the game was on the 17th, and my brother went there on the 17th, and he saw a game on the 17th. Now, Mr. Henry said that the last Predator home game was on the 10th. Well, I'm
okay.
Not saying Mr. Henry's
but
a liar.
But you did say the 12th on accident at one point.
I said the 12th was the last game, yeah. But the last game...
You just said the 10th was the last game.
Yes, sir. The last game's the 12th. The last home game's the 10th.
So would you be very specific, and just so we know that you know what your brother's going through, would you be very specific what day was your brother accused of first-degree murder, and does that day coincide with the game?
No, sir, my brother was arrested last week, and formally charged last week.
When was he arrested? What day was he accused of committing the murder?
When he was arrested.
No.
Are you asking what day the murder was committed, sir?
Right.
Okay. What day was the murder?
The murder was the day of the Predators game.
Then that couldn't possibly be the 17th because the Predators game occurred on the 10th.
Right. That's what I
mean.
Then what's the 12th?
The 12th, the last home game.
Your brother was at the last home game on the 10th or the 17th. That's what you told us.
Mr. Henry, I don't appreciate being yelled at, believe me.
Well, sir, you know, you tell me that I'm twisting people's arm to lend you money. I'm not doing that.
I didn't know it was a loan.
I mean, to give you money, I'm not doing that. You came on, you're telling me the story. I want to hear the story. Was it your brother there on the 10th? Was he there on the 12th? Was he there on the 17th?
I believe I've said time and time again he was there on the 17th. He was there on the 10th, but the ticket said the 17th.
Was that even the day that the murder was committed?
Yes, sir. That was the day the murder was committed, on the day of that last home game, because my brother was getting ready to go to the Predator game. His partner, Chris, was going to meet this young man, Dave, who had the safe. And my brother left, and Chris left.
So your brother left, and Chris left, at the same time that Dave left?
Yeah, and the police are saying it was my brother. Well, it could have been Chris. Why wasn't it Chris?
Well, it's very interesting that both of you guys now are gone while this kid is gone.
Yeah. So that's what the cops used to pin it on me?
Well, no, but you're saying you went to a Predator game that was either on the 17th or the 10th. We're completely confused.
I told you the date.
Okay. Then you've got receipts for the hot dog stand, for the gas station. You say it's all ironclad, and yet the police have placed your brother under arrest.
Yeah, because that's how they get their kicks. That's how cops get their kicks. I've been trying to tell you people this. When they can't solve a case, they decide to get their laughs by just locking anybody up.
Well, so how is that going to work when you get to trial? I mean, that amount of evidence that you shared with us, it doesn't sound like enough to convict him at a trial that any jury would believe that. And so it sort of sounds like you're withholding evidence if you need a Johnny Cochran-type lawyer to protect your brother in this case.
What have I told you that would convict my brother? I said he's got an alibi, ironclad, he was at a hockey game.
The date of which is wrong on the ticket.
He has the receipts of getting gas.
He could have gotten gas and committed a murder.
Okay, what are you saying? thinking now, Mr. Henry? Have you changed your mind?
I'm just telling you, if I'm thinking like a cop, you can stop and get gas and still kill somebody. You might even be able to kill somebody and still go to a hockey game.
You know what? You people watch way too many cartoons. Because my brother is...
Yeah, well, by the way, you just said your brother gets so angry he could bust out of a jail.
Wouldn't you be that angry? Would you not be that angry if somebody told you, I think I'm going to put you in jail for murder?
And your brother gets so angry he can bust out of a jail, but he wouldn't get so angry as to rip somebody off for...
He'd be ripping himself off.
Not necessarily. He'd be ripping himself off. He's ripping off his business to pay off a gambling debt.
Especially if he gets you to, finance his defense for free. I came into this wanting to believe you. But obviously we're going to have questions.
How much money were you going to donate?
I don't know. I was going to actually, follow through and find out, the credibility of the story. But you don't want to deliver that. You don't want to deliver the credibility of the story. You just want to put out that your brother's been accused.
Sir, ask me any question you want. I'll have an answer. I swear.
Yeah, but will it be the right answer?
I'm by myself here. I don't have Johnny Cochran. I don't have Gloria Allred. You got Mr. Henry making fun of me. There's nothing I can do. I care about my brother very much.
Sir, I want to help you, but I'm listening to your answers. Just like that one lady said, if you go to a trial with all of this stuff, go ahead, ask him any question you want here, sir, and Ryan, and then we'll take our break.
All right. Aside from all of this, I just want to know why you need a lawyer that would be that good if he has an ironclad alibi. I don't understand the alibi, but why would you need this special Johnny Cochran-type lawyer if he has an ironclad alibi? It seems like a public defender would do fine.
If, and I said to Mr. Henry, if he committed the murder, I don't believe he did. I swear on a stack of Bibles he didn't, but he might have gotten, there might have been a good reason to kill this guy, and I...
Phil Hendry.
Oh, I see.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, we don't have a lot more time. Phil Hendry Show, I'm with Don Parsley here, and Mr. Parsley came on our program to talk about a brother that was arrested last week in Tennessee for first-degree murder. A courier used by Mr. Parsley's brother's business was killed. A safe with a significant amount of valuable material valued at somewhere around $150,000 was taken. The safe was found. The money and collectibles were not. Mr. Parsley's brother has been arrested. And I'm not saying that I believe any of this, Mr. Parsley. I'm just saying what seems to be the discrepancy, the police are not buying the story of your brother being at a hockey game because the date your brother gave them and the actual date of the hockey game are two different dates. The ticket says something else. You have said here that your brother's temper is so bad that he could bust out of a jail. You have said that you're a twin, so your brother, you're convinced your brother could never have done it. However, if he is guilty, you said...
But
you said if all of a sudden, if he's guilty, never before in the program did you say to me that you thought it's possible.
Mr. Henry, hold on for a minute, because I said if he's guilty, you have to keep open the possibility that something's, I don't think I'm so blind and naive not to think that it's possible. But even if my brother killed that, he must have had the kid must have pissed him off or done something. And so that we would have to have a Johnny Cochran-style lawyer.
So you would still be out here raising money for your brother on my radio show to my listeners, even though he may be guilty?
Because I don't think you're listening too good.
I'm listening to everything.
Because he might have had a good reason.
And what good reason do you have to shoot a man and leave him laying it off the side of a road? His truck is empty. What good reason is there?
Well, you're making it all dramatic, like you think you're Johnny Cochran or something.
No, I'm asking you, what good reason would a man have for killing another man and then covering it up, lying about it?
He didn't lie.
Yes, he did.
Well, I don't know if he did it. That's the whole thing.
877-876-PHIL. He did. If he did it, then he lied. Here is Jeff in Cincinnati, listening at WQRT. Jeff, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Phil. I'll get right to the point.
Yes, sir.
I'm hearing two sides of a story here that doesn't really make any sense to me. I believe I'm speaking on behalf of all of Northern Kentucky. I would like to be. I'd like to hear the opening arguments in this trial. My brother. We can't get the dates correct here on what happened here, but I don't believe he murdered somebody. But boy, get in his way, and he's going to bust out of jail and probably harm somebody else. I'd like to see how that flies over for the jury. To me, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
I would never. Yeah, that's the reason why I'm not a lawyer, sir, and I.
And I agree with that.
I would never say that.
And yeah, I would say that's what the opening arguments in my mind are going to say. My brother did not do it. He may or may not have been at this hockey game, but boy, get in his way here and you're going to be in trouble. That sounds really great.
Well, I don't know. Whatever the lawyer says, I'm sure he'd be good to get some money together here. And I've been listening to people making all kinds of big talk, but nobody's coughing up.
You know what? Nobody's going to cough up so long as we're hearing stories about it. Was the 10th. It was the 17th.
I told you it was the 10th. You looked it up, Mr. Hendry. You said it was the 10th.
You originally said it was the 17th.
The ticket said the 17th.
Ah, that's right. The counterfeit ticket said the 17th. But your brother still... See, I don't care whether he got in with a ticket. I'm willing to believe that there are counterfeit tickets that can actually get you into a game. The thing that I find strange is that your brother showed up for the game on the 10th.
Because he knew the schedule.
Then what... If you're holding a ticket that says the 17th, and he's such a big hockey fan, wouldn't he say, oh my God, I've got the wrong ticket?
Let's go back to my original point.
No. You please. Wouldn't he say, I've got the wrong ticket?
He might have been distracted because he just killed a man, and that was the point that I wanted to get to, but you wouldn't let me, and now I want to get to my point. If he had killed him.
If he had killed him, then it makes sense that he doesn't know what's on his ticket. He doesn't know. If he'd killed him, it would make sense to me that he wouldn't even know if he's watching a hockey game at that point.
Maybe he didn't.
So are you telling us now that he killed him?
No, I am not. I'm saying I know my brother because he's a twin. And is this gentleman a twin that I'm talking to? Because I wanted to find out of the people that are calling.
Are you talking about this, Jeff?
No, absolutely.
Are you a twin?
I am not
a
twin.
Well, then you don't know.
I do have a brother and sister. It doesn't matter if I'm a twin or not. I do know my brother and my sister. And it doesn't matter if you're a twin or not. I don't believe that it makes one bit of difference if you're a twin or not. I know my brother and
if
sister.
You're a twin, I know that he's lying to me. I know he's not lying to me. But
well, that you can say that if he's a twin or not. What's the difference if he's a twin? You'll know if your brother or sister is lying to you. It has nothing to do with
because
it.
Because twins can't lie to each other. They know.
Of course they can. Of course they can. They're human beings. They're human beings.
Well, yeah.
What do you mean telepathically?
It's been proven, Mr. Hendry, the twins can read minds. I'm not saying it's been proven, but I am saying that the evidence indicates the twins can read minds. And my brother told me that this cop knew, he just basically had made up his mind that my brother was guilty.
And how did your brother know that?
I told you, because he's reading this cop's mind.
Wait a minute, man.
No, not wait a minute, man, Mr. Hinton.
No. Your brother may be able to read your mind. Reading a cop's mind, he can't. I'm sorry.
A man's in jail, and you find it funny, but I don't find it funny, and my family doesn't find it funny.
I don't think any of us find that funny whatsoever. We're just
and I don't think the family of that. I don't think the family of that kid that was killed, that poor kid driving a truck for his job, was killed. I don't think they think it's funny either.
Oh, so you're bringing up that kid, so you get people on your side.
I'm bringing up the kid. He got killed.
My brother.
Well, I heard what you said, Don. If your brother did it, he must have had a real good reason.
No, you twisted it all out of proportion.
No, that's exactly what you said. Thank you very much, Jeff, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Don in Houston. Go ahead, Don. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, sir. Mr. Hendry, I'm convinced that this gentleman knows that his brother committed the crime. But for whatever reason, he will not admit so. And I challenge him to discuss every conversation he had with his brother since the crime.
Well, I mean, what every conversation, I mean, that's a lot of them. What,
well, I want to hear them because you have to ask your brother, did you do it or not?
I did ask him. He said, no, he did not. And I said, you know I'm a twin. And he goes, yeah.
Can we get off the twin thing? Because,
well, you know that.
No, I don't know that twins can read other people's minds, no.
Well, I my brother said, no. I asked him, did you kill Davey? He said, no, I didn't. And I said, are you sure? And he said, how could you ask me, am I sure? Don't you think you'd be sure if you killed someone? And then we both laughed about that.
So you are now convinced that he did not do it? Yes or no?
I think he did not do it, but he might have, and
ooh,
at that time really thought, well, you know, at the time he talked to me, he believed that he hadn't.
Well, wait a minute, man. Are you telling me now your brother doesn't remember properly whether he killed somebody? The brother that can read minds?
He could read. I said he read that cop's mind.
Oh, yeah, he read the cop's mind because he's a twin. So your brother suddenly doesn't remember whether he killed somebody or not.
Yeah, let me ask both of you gentlemen, where does the donating of money start? When do we get into that?
Well, how much do you really want to prepare a defense if you know he's guilty?
You need one. I think you need a lawyer on the level of the man I talked about, Jerry Cochran, or someone like that.
He's dead, Johnny Cochran.
But
we can find a better lawyer. But I mean, if he's really guilty, then let's just admit the truth. But if he's innocent, let's go fight the fight.
He is innocent, as far as I can tell.
Well, you know what, Don? As far as you can tell, ain't good enough. And you've been doing a dance here tonight.
Well, Mr. Henry, don't wrap this up like you're Rod Serling and you're giving the outro on an episode. Don't wrap it up like. Don't wrap me up. Don't wrap me up like I'm that episode with the turned up nose people. All right? Don't wrap me. Don't give me an epilogue. I came on your program in good faith because I wanted to get money for a defense fund for my brother who had been wrongly accused of murder. I thought. Then the more you people talk to me about it, the more I realize maybe he did kill Davey. And then I thought, all right, I'll keep going to get money to get a defense fund for a lawyer that can help him defend himself if he's guilty so he doesn't get the death penalty.
Is Whoa. That what you thought?
Well, listen to you two guys. So both of you guys are now geniuses, is that it?
No, not at all. No, we're not geniuses. We're talking to you, man, and you're giving. And what do you mean you're an episode like the turned up noses?
You're talking about me like, and there he is, Don Parsley. Thanks a lot, folks. Produced by CBS TV. Like I'm a freak. Like I'm some freak in a chicken coop.
Okay, Don, thanks for your call. 877-876-PHIL. I'm going to take another phone call here, and then we're going to have to move on. Bill, Bill, you're on the Phil Henry Show. I got to move on, sir. Bill, go ahead.
Mr. Parsley, can I offer you a piece of advice, sir? Slow your roll.
I've been getting a lot of advice tonight.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying, you know, I'm one of these stupid ex-cops, and you need to make notes and follow those notes when you're going down because you're giving different answers to the same question every time it's being asked, sir. I want to believe. Here's what I think. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt and think that you're telling them the truth and that your answers are coming from being more afraid than anything else because you're scared you're going to lose your brother. I'm a stupid cop. I understand that. But you need to get your story straight. Make you a set of outline notes. You should have did that before you came on this show. Because if I first got onto this show the other night when I had this idiot on there talking about he could tell what kind of ethnicity somebody is by the music they listen to. And from then on, I've been taping this show. Because I'm not an all-night person. Really, you know, I want to give you the benefit of the doubt to think you're telling the truth.
Mr. Henry, if you're having a good time laughing at this, you're laughing.
I'm not.
What the gentleman was? No, I was laughing because what Bill was talking about reminded me of the bit, and it was making me laugh. Not you, Mr. Parsley. The bit that he was talking about from the other night.
You know, looking for
this guy was so insane. He made you sound like
sir,
you know, the best lawyer.
You know what? That's fine. But you can't identify me with some crazy man you listen to. You know, this is the thing about cops. Who can figure
out what I'm saying?
Here's the thing I don't get.
I said the gentleman that was on the other night was an idiot, and for that reason I started taping the show. I didn't say you were an idiot. I'm trying to give you the benefit of the doubt, but you don't seem to want to accept it. Listen, take the pro bono attorney that they're offering you. You can kick him out later, but what you need to do is go down and file a discovery and get copies of those dead gum concession stand receipts. And the second thing you need to do is get the lawyer to go down there, scan the computer, because they may have not had the right date on the ticket itself, but the barcode must have been right because they let you in. I mean, here in Houston, you got to go through 80 metal detectors and everything else just to get a beer. I know you don't live in the sticks. These guys are sophisticated that run these stadiums now, and they've got records just like anytime you see the news on TV, you see all these surveillance tapes of people doing all
now, these things. Now, this is a man, excuse me for interrupting you, Bill, but you're a police officer, an ex-police officer. This is a guy giving you good, solid advice, and you just said to me, cops are real stupid. Don't you feel bad?
Feel bad about what?
This gentleman's just giving you this really good, solid advice.
This guy's I don't mean anything against him, but he's a cop. They get their kicks running in circles.
Wait a minute, man. He just told you some stuff about how to get evidence, what to look for, what not to look for, and you're telling me he's getting his kicks running you in circles.
I don't know. The whole thing sounds far out to me.
Anybody that's ever seen My Cousin Benny, for God's sakes, knows how to get evidence. discovery...
Look, I'm not some hillbilly in Alabama, looking for a tire tread. My brother...
Hey, I'm from Texas, dude. You can call me a hillbilly all you want. My neck's as red as they get. All I'm trying to do is give you some advice. When you talk to people, when you talk to the police, you need to... Mr. Henry, can you send this man a tape of the show tonight so he can hear how he sounds?
Hey, let me tell you what. All I'm telling you is my brother said he went to a hockey game on the 17th of April, and there might not have been anybody there, and maybe he's hallucinated.
I'm trying to tell you. Yeah, I believe you.
Right. Yeah, he believes you. So you got to get this ticket. You get the barcode, because if the barcode somehow got him in to the stadium on whatever night it might have been, and there was a hockey game, maybe he thought it was the 17th because he got in. The ticket said the 17th, so this must be the 17th. And in point of fact, it was the 10th.
And you're telling me this cop's for real, huh?
Oh, come on, will you? All right, thank you very, very much, Bill. Good advice. Appreciate you calling, sir. 877-876-PHIL.
You said, is that it?
Yeah, that's it. I got to move on, man.
Okay, so for almost 2 hours, not one nickel, not even...
You know what? I'll write you a check for $100.
A check?
Well, other than that, there's nothing I can do because people didn't buy the story, didn't believe your story. They didn't want to talk to you about your brother.
And they don't even know a twin can read minds.
A twin can read anybody's mind?
That's my understanding, yeah. I can't do it. I'm a twin. I can't do it. But my brother's a twin, and he can. He can read minds across the room.
Why would a twin be able to do that?
Because they get practice reading each other's minds, and then they, when the other twin isn't there, they just read whatever mind is there. That I don't understand it either, but it is a...
All right, thanks very much. Wow. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, coming back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show in just a couple of minutes. A few other things, like a burglar suing the man who captured him, claiming that the citizen's arrest was a little too rough. We'll be back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I'm a twin and I can read minds.
Phil Hendry.
I just was remembering, I don't know, who was on the show the other night?
I don't know, but you said about ethnicity or whatever, that ethnicity?
Ethnicity. Whoever was on the show, do you remember, Robert?
No, I don't, but I know he was saying that, are you white, then that means you listen to Neil Diamond, something like that.
Yeah, I forget who that was. Anyway, that caller that we just had on the air reminded me of that. Welcome back to the Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our website is philhendryshow.com. You want to watch a live streaming video of our show? Oh, it was Larry Grover, I think, Mr. Grover.
No, the guy that lives on his mom's cot.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he's got a cot at his mother's house. Yeah, it was Larry Grover
who was very proudly proclaiming that he's not a racist, but he wants to really prop the white people.
Yeah, that got to be a racist. No other way.
Well, he didn't say that he didn't think black folks or anybody, shouldn't have what they want.
No, man, don't be naive, man. That's a racist through and through, man. When he said, all I want to do is prop the white people don't need propping. You know, black people need prop. Mexican people probably need it. Hell, I'd even say Jewish people need it, you know.
Oh, well, how big of you?
Yeah, what is, you don't like Jews at all.
I didn't say I don't like Jews. I don't say I don't like Jews.
Then what's the problem with Jews?
I didn't say I got a problem with Jews.
Then why did you say, hell, I'll even say Jewish people?
Because Jewish people are doing fine, you know. They're all talking about how they're put on and how they had a Holocaust, all that. You look around, man, the Jews are doing good, you know. And all right, so they're doing good, man.
It ain't like they're the most loved people in the world. Every time something goes wrong, man, the only reason why they blame Jews is because they don't figure black people are smart enough.
Yeah, right there, man.
All right, I'm kidding.
Right there, man.
That's true.
Shut up, bud. I'm joking.
No, you're not joking, man. You're not joking. That's exactly what you're saying. You said Jews get blamed because they don't think black people are smart enough to pull off some of the stuff the Jewish people pull off.
Nobody's pulling anything off, man. That's the problem. Nobody's pulling anything off. Jews aren't pulling anything off. Black folks aren't pulling anything off. But you cats are at each other's throats because you think you're pulling something off. And I really have given you the benefit of the doubt. I don't hear Jewish people busting on black people near as much as I hear black folks busting on Jewish people.
Yeah, because the Jewish people got everything.
So they got everything. You know, I mean, a lot of white folks got everything, man, and they ain't Jews. You know, I don't get it, man. I just don't get it.
Well, someday you might get it. You understand about slave trading.
Oh, will you get out of here with that slave trade bull crap, man? Get out of here with that, okay? Every kind of guy was trading the slaves. Every kind of slob. Including, as you know, black people. And I ain't even going to be hanging that on them, all right? I just don't get it with this whole Jew this, Jew, you know, Hymietown that. And who's that other scumbag? Who's the latest guy that was saying that stuff?
I don't know. Chris Rock.
What do you mean, Chris Rock? Burglar sues man who captured him, claims rough citizen's arrest. We're going to read this when we come out at the top of the hour because we don't have time right now because Robert was bugging me with all of his paranoia.
I'm not paranoid about nothing, man. You brought it up.
No, I think you brought it up.
No, you brought it up.
No, anyway. 877-876-PHIL. Representative Anthony Weiner goes in on an epic rant on the House floor. We'll hear it when we come back.
Phil Hendry. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
What is your beef with illegal immigration?
Well, Rick, we can beat this. This bill in the Gulf, it's a catastrophe.
Great courage. Wait until all members have already spoken and then stand up.
Something in my head told me this wasn't working with this bear.
Did you ever smoke, Wolf?
No, not really.
Good day.
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, and here it is Saturday. That's some truth. Truth is our bitch on this show. We'll go through the looking glass and beyond to find it. And along the way, though, hope that we have a couple of laughs. Coming up this hour, Governor Brewer considers changing the immigration law. Changing the immigration law from something to something else, huh? Plus, should Billy the Kid be pardoned? It's being considered in New Mexico. And our affiliate spotlight for tonight in Miami, WAXY 790 Waxy, 790 AM in Miami, and in Abilene, Texas, KFNA 96.1 FM. Two great stations on the Phil Hendry Network. And go to our website, philhendryshow.com, for the beginning on Monday of our podcast downloads, automatic podcast downloads of our show. And also we'll be featuring three times a week, downloads of a classic Phil Hendry podcast hosted by me, where we introduce you to the kind of radio show that we do, and to our website. We've got a live streaming video of our show right now and audio, as we do each and every night. We've got a live news feed you can comment on. You can email us. You know, be a part of it. Be a part of all of it. All right, 877-876-PHIL.
is the number. Now, Anthony Weiner, a representative in the House of Representatives, went ballistic on the floor of the House of Representatives today, and we're going to play that audio for you and give you the background on that story. But first, a burglar is suing a man who captured him because the guy put him through a very rough citizen's arrest. This is the kind of story we all love. We like these stories because, first of all, we like to hear about guys that are committing crimes getting beat up. You mean there wasn't a cop around? It was just a regular guy, yeah. But we hope they wind up good, meaning the guy is, you know, they're laughing at him and nobody wants to hear what he has to say. Well, his name is Michael Dupree. He's serving a 12-year prison sentence for burglary and cocaine possession. He's filed a lawsuit against three men who helped police take him down. Dupree says he's the victim of a rough citizen's arrest and was assaulted and battered by the men. He's seeking $500,000 in punitive damages. Anthony McCoy, one of the men being sued, said it's laughable. It's a waste of taxpayer money. McCoy says he remembers Dupree well. He says that on the morning of October the 11th, 2007, he was working at his business on Dr. Martin Luther King Drive, Street S. This is in St. Petersburg, Florida. He noticed that the passenger window of one of his vehicles was broken. He quickly spotted Dupree, who had a red bike that had been inside the vehicle. McCoy and two other men gave chase. They found Dupree hiding naked a few hundred feet away. That's Florida, all right. That's Florida. Some ass just walking around naked or riding a bike naked or, you know, they find him in Shamu's tank in SeaWorld naked. Oh, yeah.
You're kidding.
No, no, that happened once.
Yeah, they found a guy, some guy climbed in nude.
What are you talking about, a guy climbing nude?
Some guy climbed into Shamu's tank at SeaWorld.
In San Diego?
No, in Florida, in Orlando. That's Florida, man. So anyway, they gave chase. They found Dupree hiding naked a few hundred feet away. McCoy says he put Dupree in a shoulder hold until officers arrived. According to a...
What's a shoulder hold?
Here, I'm going to show you a shoulder hold. You ready?
Okay.
There. See that?
I can't move my arms or nothing.
Right. Then I just put my hands behind your head.
Here, let me try.
Do that to me, man. Ow! Ow! Do that to me, you idiot.
What are you doing, man? I thought that was a shoulder hold.
That ain't my shoulder, is it? I had to belt you for that.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, ha, that's really funny, man. Anyway, shoulder hold. McCoy and two other men gave chase. They found a guy nude and he's hiding. Now, according to a police report, Dupree, homeless at the time, has a criminal record dating back to 1990. Dupree told police that a guy had given him the bike and he went to the corner store and was trying to sell it. Then he said McCoy and the other men jumped him, pointed a gun at him, placed a knee painfully on his spine and handcuffed him. Dupree claims in his suit, which he filed without a lawyer, that the takedown resulted in permanent disabilities and psychological disorders, which the plaintiff continues to suffer. Dupree was convicted of burglary in 2008. He's serving a sentence at the Appalachian Correctional Institute in Sneeds. He pled no contest to the drug charge and is serving a... McCoy said he couldn't believe it when he was served with Dupree's lawsuit earlier this month. I thought it was a joke. I'm the victim, McCoy said. He said he expects the suit to be dismissed. What gall? I guess time in prison just makes you go crazy. Time in prison gives you a chance to read a lot of law books, I guess. That's what they say. That's what I see in all them shows, you know.
Yeah, they always show a guy like, I did a lot of a prison lawyer, you know. I got a prison lawyer, you know.
Yeah, you have time to go and read a lot of books and do a lot of stuff.
Probably some guy told him how to do it, some pain in the butt.
Probably. Now we move on from a guy nude on a bicycle to something similar. The House of Representatives. Anthony Weiner, who is a representative in the House of Representatives, he represented all right. Most House Republicans on Thursday voted against a bill to provide $7.4 billion in aid to 9/11 first responders who became sick after the attacks. You know, I'm not saying I agree with the Republicans. I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying I agree with the Democrats. But you do every now and again sniff out a bill that's got a little bit of a... You know, the election's around the corner, you know, all over it. How could anybody be against this? Anyway, $7.4 billion in aid to 9/11 first responders who become sick after the attack. They complained the Democrats opted to bypass voting on amendments, opting instead for a process that sped up the vote but required a two-thirds majority. So the vote was apparently, as far as Republicans were concerned, not a fair one as far as the Democrats were concerned. Why don't you Republicans get up off your ass and do something to help your country? Democratic Representative Anthony Weiner blew a fuse. on the House floor when he heard his GOP colleagues complaining about procedure yesterday. In a dramatic 1.5-minute speech, Wiener hollered that Republicans were being cowardly by opposing the bill based on procedure. Let's listen, shall we? Representative Anthony Wiener, a Democrat from New York, went on a rather epic rant on the House floor yesterday against Representative. He was going up against Representative Peter King, a Republican from New York.
Great courage to wait until all members have already spoken and then stand up and wrap your arms around procedure. We see it in the United States Senate every single day where members say, we want amendments, we want debate, we want amendment, but we're still a no. And then we stand up and say, oh, if only we had a different process, we'd vote yes. You vote yes if you believe yes. You vote in favor of something if you believe it's the right thing. If you believe it's the wrong thing, you vote no. We are following a procedure. I will not yield to the gentleman, and the gentleman will observe regular order. The gentleman will observe regular order.
Wow. Representative Wiener continues his rant and makes it clear he still won't yield.
The gentleman thinks if he gets up and yells about it, if he's going to intimidate people into believing he's right, he is wrong. The gentleman is wrong. The gentleman is providing cover for his colleagues rather than doing the right thing. It's Republicans wrapping their arms around Republicans rather than doing the right thing on behalf of the heroes. It is a shame. A shame. If you believe this is a bad idea to provide health care, then vote no. But don't give me the cowardly view that, oh, if it was a different procedure, the gentleman will observe regular order and sit down. I will not. The gentleman will sit. The gentleman is correct in sitting. I will not.
This is quite obviously
General
not in order.
Suspend. General will suspend.
Wow. Wiener concludes his rant.
I will not stand here.
Gentleman is recognized.
And listen to my colleagues say, oh, if only I had a different procedure that allows us to stall, and then vote no. Instead of standing up and defending your colleagues and voting no on this humane bill, you should urge them to vote yes, something the gentleman has not done.
On MSNBC today, Representative Wiener gives context.
But right before I got up to spoke, my colleague Mr. King stood up, who's a sponsor of the bill, and right. spent almost his entire statement ripping the Democrats, using words like cowardly and lacking courage, and making this about a process. And frankly, that's what set me off, and that's why I thought we needed to respond, because frankly, the Republicans have now, as you know, over the course of the last couple of years, this has been their strategy. They say, oh, we like the bill, but we don't like the way you're doing it. We don't like the style. Right. We don't like the time, how many pages you're using. So that's what I was responding to.
All right, so there it is. Representative Anthony Wiener, who I've seen on TV. I've seen him engaging people. I believe the guy is about keeping the facts straight, and I can't say that about all politicians. So I don't care if they're Democrat or Republican. He is about keeping the facts straight. He has at times tried to clarify in the face of ideology. I don't know whether he would have been that strenuous supporting something perhaps that was Republican-sponsored if he saw the same things happening on his side of the aisle. But he is right. You know, when you don't have the majority, when you are a minority party, when you need to get stuff done and you don't have the votes, yeah, you do rely on procedural, reflexive kind of procedural strategies and tactics and those things, filibusters, whatever. I don't know.
You understand what about a filibuster and everything like that?
Yeah.
No, I don't. I don't.
Well, how does it happen?
I don't know. All I know is a guy can keep talking and talking and talking and talking and talking and talk as long as he wants, and he won't yield, you know?
What's that mean, yield?
Sit down.
Oh, so another guy can talk?
Yes, so another guy can talk. All right, 877-876-PHIL. We're going to come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show this evening. Coming up, famous college roommates still to come, and did a Christian woman stop a robbery with her faith? 877-876-PHIL.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Robbery with her faith.
What?
Phil Henry.
Time now for a semi-regular feature called Life Imitates Phil, and we are going to bring on the sponsor of this Life Imitates Phil, Dr. Ron Turner, joining us now from Mountain Meadow Observatory in Colorado. And Dr. Turner?
Yes, Phil, right here.
This is very interesting, this Life Imitates Phil, because it was the other night, I believe, that you were on with us, and you mentioned this. As a matter of fact, you were mentioning the possibility of this as energy.
All right. So my question is, why is it called Life Imitates Phil? Why isn't it Life Imitates Dr. Rod Tarter?
Because it was on my show.
Okay.
Well, you know, I mean, it's just, it's a lot of fun, you know.
Well, I understand it's a lot of fun, but you say Life Imitates Phil. I'm the one that mentioned that it was my idea originally that pee could, we could use pee as fuel.
Yes. Yes, it was your idea originally that we could use, quote, pee as fuel. And now we find researchers are testing urine as potential energy sources. Portable urinals could create power from pee.
Yeah, that is so lame. That's so much crap. I mentioned urine as a viable and serious source of energy, and they are coming up with line. What was the line? Power from what?
Power from pee. Anyway, researchers at the Bristol Robotics Lab are pumping money into experiments that will test urine as a new energy source. Dr. Leonis Larapoulos, who is heading up the research. Do you know this guy?
I never heard of him.
Why are you not at the fore of this?
I'm doing my own experimentation. Thank you very much. I'm doing my own. Thank you very much.
But I mean, this is getting news.
Yeah, well, that's good. I hope they get news, because that means there's going to be a lot of people that are paying attention to their acidine experiments. And when they finally come up goose eggs, and they're casting around for someone who can make a concerted and realistic effort at turning human urine into fuel, they'll naturally come knocking on my door. So I'm not, I'm not worried at all.
All right. Well, who's actually making a concerted effort at turning human urine into fuel? Anyway.
I'm glad you could spit that out.
I'm sorry. Dr. Larapoulos, who is heading up the research, was awarded a... Where are you right now?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, where are you?
I'm in the cafeteria at the observatory.
All right. It's very loud. It's very active for the middle of the night, isn't it?
We are at 24. We have a SETI program here, Phil. It's 24-7, so...
All right. They're heading up the research. Was awarded a fellowship grant worth nearly $900,000 to develop effective ways to turn waste into energy. He now plans to expand that research to include urine. For the past 3.5 years, Larapoulos has worked to create robots powered by consuming garbage. The robots run on microbial fuel cells, which are created when bacteria breaks down and turns into power.
Yeah, let me comment for you. I'm very aware of this research. I'm very aware of this very wrong-headed and time-wasting bit of science that's being conducted by these individuals trying to get robots to run on... basically, you're trying to get robots to run after someone went to the toilet. And I think it bespeaks a preoccupation that is juvenile. I have no idea what it is they're trying to do. Burying the idea of robots, and I go doo-doo, you know...
Well, you don't think it's that childish, do you?
I absolutely do think it's childish. I think if you think of it in this term, in this way, Phil, robots and going poo-poo, that is the domain of a four-year-old boy. And yet we have researchers at the Bristol Robotics Laboratory every day coming to work and playing with it. I wonder, I wrote a letter, in fact, to Scientific American one afternoon. I said, I wonder if these men show up for work and immediately reach down into their diapers and start throwing it around the room. You know?
Well, I you know better than I do. I mean, this is your field.
You're darn right.
Okay. But I doubt seriously if, I shouldn't say. What is the real beat? You don't think these guys are really... juvenile, do you?
Well, what I'm telling you is the following thing. I think it is completely wrong. First of all, they're attempting a technology that is needed. We don't need to run robots for anything, really. I think the robotic technology that they're talking about is completely unnecessary. What we could use is more research into prosthetics and the possible use of robotics in prosthetics, human prosthetics. Okay.
All right.
We could use that. We could use any kind of an assist for people with spinal cord injury. But to figure out how to run a robot after you go, I go bathroom. Billy, I hope you're not laughing.
No, I'm not. It was funny to me. You know,
what is funny to you about wasting billions of dollars? Could you enlighten me on that, please?
Well,
no, really. What is funny to you, and what is funny to your audience about wasting billions of dollars? I was curious.
It is not funny. You're right.
Okay, that's exactly right. It's not funny. What it is, I'll give you an example. And here is where I would help our good friend, Mr. Stephen Hawking, who you love and everyone thinks is just the greatest thing in the world. Stephen Hawking should be on my side on this one. Stephen Hawking suffers from ACL. Stephen Hawking could use advanced robotic technology because he has a condition that obviously would benefit immensely. He doesn't need to have little robots running around his apartment like we're in Blade Runner. You know, he needs the kind of robotic technology. And I would say to Stephen Hawking right now, of all the things that he's involved himself in that have been an embarrassment, of all the things that Stephen Hawking has done that are quasi-racist in nature, embarrassing for their science, and the criminality of a man like that being as attractive as he is to women, the criminality of that, I won't comment on. But Stephen Hawking could get on my side on this and say what we do need is a concerted effort at robotics in terms of in the medical field, nuclear science, and so forth. But instead, what do we get? We get a group of scientists at the Bristol Robotics Lab, led by this Ioannis Larrapoulos, and they say, look, Bobby, I have robot. I go potty to make the robot run.
Well, you're set. Okay, so essentially you will not give these men any benefit of engaging in this kind of science for anything beyond their own infantile amusement.
Absolutely. Since when I first broached the idea of using urine as energy, about 4 or 5 years ago, Phil, and I've been working on it ever since. I don't get big news articles written about me because I don't want them. I don't get a lot of people interviewing me because I don't want them. The guys at Bristol Robotics, they like that kind of attention. They can't wait for people to come around.
What?
They can't wait for people to come around so they can watch them go to the bathroom.
You're serious?
I've never been more serious in my life. I've never been more serious in my life. I've been working on this technology. I don't need some hack from the New York Daily News to come around my observatory and ask me about the work I'm doing on power urine, which is what we call it, by the way.
Power urine?
Yeah, well, it's better than pee power. And I am certainly not going to engage seriously what these guys are doing. I have a robot. Me go, me make do. I won't do it. You can't make me do it.
I hung up on him. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back.
You hung up on Dr. Turner.
You'll Phil be Hendry.
I'm glad you hung up on him.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. What are you guys talking about?
Well, I mean, you're talking about Dr. Turner and about, you know, how many people are at the laboratory.
Yeah, well, you know, how many do you think there is?
At his observatory right now?
Yeah.
I don't know. It sounded like they had a full damn bunch of, cafeteria or something.
Yeah, that seems like a lot of people in the middle of the night.
They might be doing something with the, like I said, they've got a SETI array there. You know what SETI is?
Uh-oh.
Search for extraterrestrial intelligence.
Right. What are you talking about?
Looking for E.T.?
Yeah. Basically. Looking for E.T., yeah.
That's ridiculous. Have they been able to find it?
No, they haven't found it. No, of course not. I mean, they haven't. If they had, they're not telling us, which, of course, that's God, God help us, because there's bound to be somebody out there already working on or has worked on and has already had it rejected, a screenplay about, aha, we found it. Oh, it was Contact. I forget. Contact, that was it. Didn't she work at SETI?
I didn't see that movie. You said it stunk. So I didn't see it. You said it stunked.
Yeah.
What do you mean I said it stunked?
Yeah.
It did. It stunk. It stunk. It was the worst. Boring, unrealistic.
Well, how's it going to be realistic, man? It's about contacting a man from another planet.
You can make anything seem realistic. You can make anything seem like, wow, if this happened, this is the way it would happen. You can make it feel, I mean, call me crazy, but when Close Encounters of the First Kind came out, I felt that Spielberg made that film in a manner and directed it, and the actors played it like, well, I mean, this is crazy stuff, but if it were to happen, this is probably what it would look like. You know, that's all I'm saying. Contact was the most asinine movie, if for nothing else, than that dumb, stupid bunch of protesters at the end.
Oh, yeah, they all had signs out and saying, yeah, you know, I forget what it was.
It was stupid. Anyway, so that's where he is. They got that SETI thing, you know.
I don't know that put a dish, man. They're going to discover nothing, you know, except, like, what do you call, like it bounce a signal off of space or something like that.
Well, they discovered background radiation with a couple of dishes. You know, I don't know what kind of dishes they were.
What's that?
Background radiation. Background radiation is in the universe. It is the residual of the Big Bang, okay?
What are you talking about?
Just back off, bud, and I'll tell you. When the universe started, there was a big explosion. Now, don't ask me about how, why, when, where, and don't ask me about all the people that don't believe that, because I'm not going to get into that. I'm just going to tell you that when the universe started, it was a little itsy-bitsy, teeny-weeny, eeny-teeny little piece of matter that exploded.
Well, how small could it be? I mean, everybody came out of that?
Yes, everybody came out of that one little teeny itsy-bitsy thing.
Bull crap, man. You're talking about like God.
Maybe I am talking about God. Maybe I am. Maybe that's what God, I don't know, you know, but all I'm telling you is this little tiny thing blew up. Now, it exploded, and it's still exploding. It's still exploding. It's still moving. It's moving away from the center. It's moving away from the center of the explosion. And it created all kinds of stuff when the Big Bang happened. It created all the planets. It created all the gases. It created all the stars. It created everything. And it also left a residual kind of heat radiation from its explosion, which is just all over the place, man. It would be as if I turned on a heat lamp and bang, the whole room fills with heat. Well, that's the radiation that was created from the Big Bang. And they discovered that radiation, which they knew in theory existed, but they finally did, in fact, discover it in the 60s by accident.
What? Like with a dish or something?
Yeah, with some kind of a dish that was being used for communications. And it was being used, I believe, by engineers for Bell, the phone company. I think I've got the right people there.
Yeah.
And these cats were getting static. And they thought there was, in other words, the signals that they were working with, they weren't supposed to have this hissing sound that they kept hearing. And they went up and they cleaned the dish off. And they thought it was bird crap on the dish. They thought it was rain on the dish. They didn't know what the hell it was until they finally realized we are hearing a sort of a static, we are listening to the radiation. And I think what they did is they scoped it. They actually looked on a scope. And eventually they were able to track the heat of this radiation. We find in the universe, as far as we can tell, that radiation, the heat of that is the same temperature no matter where.
Well, I don't understand any of that. But you're talking about like they did that on a dish like a SETI dish.
Yeah, so that was like they weren't talking to nobody.
No, they're not talking to anybody, man. It was just the explosion from the Big Bang is all I'm saying. But they discovered that using one of these dishes, but they were using it for something else. I think it was engineers for Bell. It might have been
another company, but they were a couple of engineers who were looking for something completely different. They were just going out one day to do their job, and they got all this interference. And they're like, what the hell is that, man? I don't know. Let's clean off the dish. Let's do this. Let's do that. It's still noisy. I don't know. It's bugging me. It's driving me nuts. How do we get rid of it? And they finally, what is that? You know, is it? They thought it was a TV signal interfering. They thought it was radio interfering. They thought they didn't know what it was until finally, as they looked into it, and they brought in other researchers, and they finally brought in scientists, and they finally brought in people and monitoring equipment, and, you know, and they did the math, and they realized that they were dealing with something that wasn't just in the immediate area of the dish. It was space-wide, man. It was universe-wide. It was a lot of this stuff, and it was very, very deep, and it was everywhere. And that was the radiation from the Big Bang.
All right, pull my coat on this. Now, you
get out of here with pull my coat on this. What's that?
I saw Malcolm X the other night.
Yeah, I thought it was cool.
Pull my coat on this. What do you want me to pull your coat on?
I forget now.
Get out of here, man. The site originally worked for SETI, then went on. Oh, who? The chick from, who are you talking about?
He's talking about, what's her name, the lesbian.
Jody Foster. Thank you, Jace. Arizona governor considers changing the immigration law. I better get off this outer space stuff because you cats, I'm losing you, man.
No. Oh, I know what I was going to ask you. What about a little tiny itsy-bitsy particle, what you were saying?
I'll talk about it some other night, okay?
Oh, man, I think that's interesting, though, that we all started with little tiny, you know. You said that blew up from what?
Look at, guys, I don't want to get into it right now, right? It's too weird. We started, the Big Bang was an explosion. It was an explosion of a little tiny. Yeah, you can't even see it.
You can't even see, and we all came from something you can't see.
Yes! It was dense matter.
All right, what made it explode? See, that's it, man. You say there's no God, and yet you say there was a Big Bang. God made the Big Bang.
I'm not claiming there's no God. I didn't say there was no God.
Yeah, well, how can you say there's a God and say there's a little tiny thing that blowed up?
How can I say there's no God? How can I say there is a God? There is a God. There is a God. I believe there's a God. And that little tiny thing blowed up.
It doesn't make any sense.
Good. Now let me move on to something else. Arizona governor considers changing immigration law. What are you doing, man?
I'm trying to measure how big the...
Get out of here. That happens to be my ruler.
All right.
It's my tape measure. He's trying to measure with a tape measure how big the original piece of matter was.
Wow. I could...
The fight over Arizona's immigration law showed no signs of letting up Friday as the federal judge who blunted its force faced threats, and the Republican governor who signed it considered changes to address any faults. Well, that's great. Glad to see you guys are on the same page. In the days since U.S. District Judge Susan Bolton put on hold the most controversial parts of the law, hundreds of emails and phone calls, including some threats, naturally, have poured into the courthouse. 70 people have been arrested in demonstrations. And a fund has been set up to help defend the new law. Added $75,000 on Wednesday alone, giving the state more than $1.6 million to get Bolton's ruling overturned. Now, Governor Jan Brewer, who signed the law and appealed the ruling, has vowed not to back down, saying she'll challenge Bolton's decision all the way to the El Supremo Corto. But Brewer said on Friday... she'd consider changes to tweak the law to respond to the parts Bolton faulted. Well, all right, and that's a very smart thing. She is the governor. She's the chief executive officer of her state, and that's the responsible thing for her to say. Having said what I just said, though, how do you fight it all the way to the Supreme Court, but you're willing to tweak those areas which Bolton finds? In other words, what she is saying is she wants her law to be constitutional, so that they can keep it on the books forevermore. And Bolton has pointed out areas where it is unconstitutional. Said Brewer, well, let's hear what Brewer said. We actually have the audio here. In a somewhat bizarre and contentious interview, oh, no, is this with Sanchez? You know, Rick, you're a nice guy, man. Would you give it up, man? You're a nice guy, Rick, but you got to give it up, dude. You got a TV show there where you are walking right up to the edge of being honest, but you just don't quite want to jump, do you, man? You got a TV show where you walk right up to the edge of being forthcoming and honest with people, but you just can't make that big jump because you don't want to lose the gig. I understand. In a somewhat bizarre and contentious interview, CNN's Rick Sanchez goes after Arizona State Representative Rick Murphy. Are we going to hear anything from the governor? I guess not. So let me read this. Then we'll get into the audio. The governor said, basically, we believe the law is constitutional, but she obviously pointed out faults that can possibly be fixed, and that's what we would do, Brewer told the Associated Press. She said she's talking to legislative leaders about the possibility of a special session, but said no specific changes had been identified. In her temporary injunction, Bolton delayed the most contentious provision of the law, including a section that required officers to check a person's immigration status while enforcing other laws. Bolton indicated the federal government's case has a good chance at succeeding in its argument that the federal immigration law trumps state law. Well, of course it does. It's how that law is being enforced. Yes, it trumps state law. Yes, it is the federal law that must be enforced. But you can enforce it. And I don't think that you have to be a federal officer to enforce it. Anyway, she allowed police to enforce the law's bans on blocking vehicle traffic when seeking or offering day labor services, and a revision to the smuggling ban that lets officers stop drivers if they suspect motorists have broken traffic laws. Bolton also let officers enforce a new prohibition on driving or harboring illegal immigrants in furtherance of their illegal presence. Democrats scoffed at Brewer's desire to change the law, with a key House minority leader calling it laughable. Why would we help her? Asked Representative Kirsten Sinema of Phoenix. This bill is so flawed, and clearly a federal judge agrees. Sinema said, why would we help her? Why would we want to have some of that bipartisanship? All right. Here's Rick Sanchez as he was driving people crazy today. He's a very nice. Rick is a great guy, but he just drives everyone nuts. He drives everybody nuts with that show of his where he pretends like there's controversy, but there really isn't. And he pretends like there's a lot going on, but there really isn't. Anyway, here is Rick talking to whoever the hell, Representative Rick Murphy, for having a beef with illegals.
What is your beef with illegal immigration?
Well, Rick, the problem with illegal immigration is that it's multifold.
It's illegal.
First of all, you've got some folks that are here that collect benefits and that put a burden on the taxpayers, and there's not enough balance to the benefit they're providing.
Okay, but just a quick stop. You know those people are paying taxes, right?
Some of them do pay some taxes.
No, they all pay taxes.
Sometimes.
No, Mr. Murphy, they all pay taxes, sir.
Yeah, that's great. They're here illegally, sir. Anyway, Sanchez accuses Murphy of using talking points. Ha-ha!
Do they all live in caves?
I don't think very many of them live
in
caves,
So if they go to the grocery store to buy goods, they pay taxes. It's called the sales tax, right?
Well, most cities here don't tax groceries, but besides that...
Okay,
look,
let me give you an example. Since you're going
My
to be
wife
real
and
smart,
I are foster parents,
when you,
okay?
No, but just let's continue the conversation. I don't want your talking points.
Hey, Rick, I get it. Your last name is Sanchez. I understand. And that doesn't mean you're stupid, does it? Sanchez gets mad.
Can you buy something at a store without paying a sales tax?
Not in most states.
So why do you go around telling Americans that these people don't pay taxes? Or some of them, as you say.
I didn't say they don't pay taxes.
You just said that a minute ago.
What I say
is... You said some
of them
do.
I said the costs they incur do not balance out the costs or the taxes that they pay.
Why don't you tell the people? You know, we may have to start a new comb-over boy, man.
Yeah, you can't call him comb-over on account of he got hair.
Since comb-over boy ain't on the air anymore, we're going to have to start doing the Rick Sanchez. Hey, look, coming up here in about a half an hour. Ricky, seriously, very nice guy and a hard-working son of a bitch. But what's going on, Rick, is you no longer... They don't want cats to do news anymore, man. They want cats to do news and have an opinion. And you don't want to have an opinion because you're afraid that, you know... So you have, like, this opinion do you think is editorially correct for CNN. What is your opinion? Other than the fact that you ain't got an opinion on a lot of stuff. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, my God.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
You know, And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And don't forget, on Monday, we begin the automatic downloads of our daily Phil Hendry Show, our Phil Hendry Show podcast, Monday. And we're very excited about offering that to you, as well as our classic podcast three times a week, featuring archival material. Of course, we have a live streaming video of our show every night, live streaming audio of our show every night. We have hours and hours and hours and hours and months and months and years and years and years of archive material. I mean, there's no website on the World Wide Web for a radio show, an individual radio show, like the Phil Hendry Show website. So check it out, philhendryshow.com. Now, just the final thing I wanted to say about Rick. Boy, I forgot what I was going to say about Rick.
You guys he's a douche.
That's not what I was going to say. He's not a douche. Here it is. I totally get it. The argument, the immigration argument is like so many things in this country right now. There's a lot of truth between the two extremes that nobody wants to think about, because when dumb people take over the debate, you're lost, right? And right now, immigration, like a lot of other things, has been co-opted by some pretty dumb people. I'm sorry, but it has. If you really wanted to solve the problem, the McCain-Kennedy compromise, or whatever you wanted to call it, George Bush's idea on solving the problem was the idea. That was the one. Even when Obama said a pathway to citizenship, that was a pretty good idea, in my opinion. But, oh, that sounds liberal, so we can't do that. That sounds too liberal. What we're talking about, make them speak English. I love that. I don't know any conservatives that don't like that. You got to learn English. Got to pay a fine. I don't know anybody that wouldn't like that idea in dealing with illegals in this country. And then you get to the back of the line while you wait for your citizenship. Now, that's a fantastic idea. It enforces English as the primary language in this country, which is a must, because you cannot have a society holding together when it is multilingual. It ain't going to happen. All right, so that, then paying a fine, and then we also keep track of who the hell is here, who's illegal, where are you, what's going on, well, you know, but no, people didn't want to do that, they called it amnesty, all kinds of stuff, because the idiots got a hold of the debate, and they co-opted the whole thing and turned it into, crap. So I might agree, but the cat like Sanchez, you can't even get out of that, you can't get out of the starting blocks with this guy, man. What's your problem with illegal immigration? That it's illegal? Well, you know, I don't know. But what is your problem? It's illegal, man. That's my problem with it. It's illegal. The immigration is illegal. Since when do laws not get enforced? Well, you know, I'll tell you when they get enforced, when people have a stake in the outcome of the law being broken. You know, I talk about on this show copyright violation. Does anybody out there listening to me give a crap? Of course you don't, and I don't blame you. It's not your fight. It's my fight. But by God, I'll fight it, and I will continue to say it is illegal to bootleg our show material. It's illegal to bootleg anybody's show material. Copyrighted, illegal. If I had Rick Sanchez saying, well, what's your problem with copyright violation, Phil? It's against the law, man. Well, but, you know, you do realize that it helps promote your show. No, I don't know that. I don't know that that's the case at all. Well, you know, Phil, I've been bootlegging material. Really? Well, I guess I'm going to have to kick your ass right here on television, Rick. And I don't want to have to do that. Oh, come on, Phil, I've been bootlegging. No, I'm sorry. Get up. It's time for your beating. Well, are you kidding me? Ow! You know. What's your problem with illegal immigration? Illegal. What's your problem with illegal copyright violation? Illegal. Well, what's your problem with illegal drug? Illegal. It's all illegal, man. If it was legal, I wouldn't have a problem with it. But it's illegal. That's my problem with it. Let's get back to enforcing laws. What do you think? Anybody got a, you know?
Well, what about, like, weed and everything?
I don't give a crap about weed. Plus, medical marijuana is legal in California. Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Podcasts Monday. Later.
Phil Hendry.
What is your problem?